Hey guys, I've been thinking a lot about welcome to, by the way, Frizzy Mom. This is not just for moms. This is just women and life and everything in between. But I just wanted to touch on something, that I've been thinking a lot about lately, and that's, the concept of who we're allowing to sit at our table. I previously there's a podcast about my daughter and about who sits at her table. And quite frankly, I think what's important is who sits at my table is going to influence her in the long run, who's sitting at her table. The concept of who is in the woven parts of her life, like they're just people who pour into her. She pours into them, a two-way street, And I think, if you are not, let me say this too. Who is sitting at your table is very important. If you are in a relationship with somebody, a romantic relationship, and he is not someone that if he was a girlfriend and he would not be one that you would choose to sit at your table, someone who isn't challenging you, someone who isn't loving you properly, someone who isn't causing you to be sharpened, you really need to rethink that relationship. And I say that firmly, I say that strongly because, I think a lot of times women get into these relationships that they feel is safe, or they feel like, oh, well, we jive, or I don't want to be alone, or I want to get married and have children, and all of that stuff. But if it's not somebody that you honestly feel like is causing you to grow as a person, and I'm not talking about, oh, yeah, we work through conflicts all the time, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody who creates joy in your life as well. Really analyze that and say, if he were a girl, would I continue to have him, her in my life? Would she sit at my table? Like, that person should be your person. If you're going to marry this person, or you know what I'm saying? Like, that person should be your person. And if not, like, I would seriously reconsider the relationship. And now, if you're married, like the only thing that you could do really is try to strive for that, right? As two people, and hopefully you're teachable and he's teachable, and you guys can both learn in that relationship. And that's what I hope for. For women in relationships where maybe they look back and go, maybe we probably shouldn't have gotten married. This isn't someone who would sit at my table. That's not an excuse. Like, work towards having that. And it's hard if that person's not teachable. I understand that. Like, that's got to be very difficult. And I've met women that say, I'm willing to work, 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 work. I just can't get him to do it. And whatever it is, therapy, whatever it is, I understand that. But I want to say this to women who aren't married yet. If that person were a woman and she is not sitting at your table, end the relationship. I say that confidently. Trust you me. And anyway, so I encourage you to really analyze that, and pursue thinking of that and being purposeful of thinking of that, even though it's uncomfortable. Right? I'm sure if this were a podcast for men, I'd say the same thing to men, but this is a podcast for women, so there you go. Anyway, I want to talk about this concept again of people sitting at your table and what that actually means and what that looks like. Because I think too, it can be very easy to have, oh, we're a clique. This is not about cliques. This is not about not being friends with other people unless they're toxic. I'm not saying if they're toxic. I don't allow toxic people in my life. I don't. I will be kind, but I don't allow like people who are like purposely, or even if they're not purposely, if they're just toxic people, like I have to make decisions to be like, you know what? I'm seeing that this person honestly is just it's like venom. It's just, it's going to filtrate through my veins soon enough. And I just have to remove myself. I get that. I've had people in my life, you know, I remember one time in college, I had a friend tell me that she was, you know, really seeking what Jesus would have for her and what that means for her. And she said, but I fear that one of those things is the removal of somebody in my life. And this person I've been friends with for a very long time. And she's like, I just feel like every conversation is about other people. And it's very unloving. And I feel like I'm going to have to cut that relationship off at some point in order to continue on this path to being more like Jesus. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. You know, I think, you know, talking to the person first and being like, listen, I feel like this relationship is, I feel like all we're doing is really bringing other people down. Like, is this really a relationship? And going from there. But I remember that, and that has always stuck with me, the idea of severing relationships. So I do think that at some point, yeah, you're probably going to have to sever some relationships that are toxic, or having boundaries with that relationship, you know, whether that be, okay, I'm not hanging out with that person as much, and when I do, I'm directing the conversation in this manner, whatever it is. But I think it's okay to have relationships where the person's an acquaintance. Like, yeah, we go and we do our morning walk together, but there's no depth. I think that's fine. What I'm talking about, like, is toxic people. Like, someone who is just a toxic person. That's a totally different thing. Not everybody in your life has to sit at your table, and I think that that's important. You know, I'm just a firm believer in that. And I want to be clear in saying this too. If the people sitting at your table are just because they have the same interests or look like you or whatever, like, analyze that. Truly analyze that and try and figure out, like, why am I, like, is this truly what's going to enhance our lives? Like, is this person really supposed to be at my table, or do I just see that we have commonalities? You know, like, I have people from all walks of life, different lifestyles that are at my table. You know, and I think that that's important to really look at, because I'm not looking at people who have the same in common with me, or like the same books, or like the same movies, or, you know, or moms like me, or, you know, have the same personality as me. I'm looking at people who truly cause me to come outside of myself and say, I've got some work to do. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who sharpen you in some of the most uncomfortable ways. These people at your table might not even be somebody that you would go out and have a fun night with. Like ladies night, hey. They might not be those people that you go and just have a good time and go out to dinner. And it. What I'm saying is, these people at your table need to be people who highly influence your life and cause your life to change. And I just, and encourage you and are loving towards you. I think that that's crucial. Yeah. You know, I think we have to be careful, because I think that that can be, you know, no, I can't have this person in my life because they're not developing me or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. So, and I'm not saying that people who don't sit at your table, quote unquote, aren't developing you. They are. But make sure that you have these people in place in your life that you're purposely dining with. And I'm talking metaphorically. Dining with at a table, like that you are sitting across from them, or you are talking to them, and you're being purposeful about that relationship. I hear a lot of women say, I just don't have close friends. I don't, you know, I've tried. But the thing is, like, yes, it's hard to meet those people. It is hard. But when you find them, be purposeful about seeking that person out. Be purposeful. And, you know, my friend Cheryl and I, we don't talk all the time. Like, we'll go months without talking. But when I talk to her and when I hang out with her, we're not always talking deep. Like, please give me a break. Like, we're two just loud people that like getting together, and we're strong personalities. And sometimes we just laugh and joke around or whatever. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that I could call her at 3 in the morning. And for whatever reason, you know, and whatever conversation I feel like having, I could have it at the spur of the moment and be like, hey, this is kind of what I'm going through. This is kind of what I'm thinking. And I just know what I can expect from her. And that's something beautiful. That really is something beautiful. Yeah, I don't know. It's like that relationship with Jesus. Like, Jesus wants to be present in those fun times and those times you're hiking and enjoying the view, or those times that you're just having a great time. Like, Jesus wants to be a part of that, but he's also there at any given moment to have these moments of clarity, to have these moments of learning, whatever it is. So I just encourage you to find these people to surround yourself with. And it's hard. And don't let jealousy or cattiness or any of those things to come in between something that can be very beautiful, very much ordained by God that he put you two together. You know, women can be very jealous, I included. And I think that we have to be very careful with that in our relationships. And if you're jealous, say you're jealous. I have a friend, Mandy, who will admit the most embarrassing things about herself. Like, I'm jealous of this person. I'm like, ooh, I remember I was roommates with her for years. And she would just flat out say if she was jealous of someone. Or she would talk about the most vulnerable things to the point of you being uncomfortable because you know that you're not willing to admit those things yet about yourself. But it really caused me to come out and feel a comfort about saying I'm jealous or I'm this or I'm that. And she's one of those people who sit at my table. Like, she is one of those people who she sits at my table. And sometimes I fear I'm not giving as much to her as she's giving to me. But she sits at my table and I love having her there because I know that she's hilarious and she's funny. And I always think that she needs like a job where she makes like song melodies or like commercial melodies because she does really great at that kind of stuff. So we have like a blast together and she's hilarious. But there are at any given moment, I can be very serious with her and very honest and authentic. And she is never judging. And don't get me started on the whole judging thing, because I think people are like, don't judge me. I'm like, stop, just stop. Stop. It's amateur hour with the whole don't judge me thing. I will get into that in another podcast. I just can't. You shouldn't judge. Stop. 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 That's amateur. It's small. It's not about that. Listen to me very clearly. I think it's important for us to understand what that means. I'm just going to touch on it a little bit. I can say what you're doing is wrong. And I can tell you that no, the things that you do are only just it's an outpouring of your heart. It's the condition of your heart, right? So I'm not sitting there going, oh my gosh, that person is doing this. Like, I think that's a bad judging, but saying what you're doing is wrong, that's not judging. That's black and white to me. Like, I'm sorry, you're cheating on your husband. That is wrong. You're doing this in this relationship, or you're being manipulative, or you're doing this, or that is wrong. That's not judging. Well, it is, right? That's wrong. Judged, done, right? But I think it's stupid of don't judge me. The fact is what that comes from is understanding that we are all sinful, that we all are shitty. And until you understand that you're shitty And I use that word because I want you to understand, until we understand our shittiness, we don't understand how much we're loved by Jesus. If we truly believe that we're perfect and we truly believe that, hey, I don't really do much wrong, I'm very lovable, we don't understand the true power of Jesus. We don't understand what his love truly is and how magnificently unique it is. Right? And so this whole judging concept, I'm like, no, 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 no. We're all shitty. We're all shitty and we all have our things. But I can tell you what you're doing is wrong. I can absolutely tell you what you're doing is wrong. People love that, right? Don't judge. Oh, stop. Stop it. Amateur, please don't. Like, I'm very firm with that. If I see you smoking in the car with your children, I'm going to tell you that you are wrong. I'm judging you. That is wrong. And what I'm also judging is the fact that you obviously have your needs above your children's health. That's not judging. Well, it is, but that's what we should be doing, is saying, no, that's wrong. We live in a humanistic society where we think, do what feels good. Do what feels good. Please just do what feels good. Who cares about other people? You do what feels good to you. And so what I think the judging part, the part that people are like, don't judge me, it needs to come from this. We're all sinful and undeserving of Jesus. And that's what grace is. So we're all shitty. So don't judge me, meaning we're all sinful. But guess what? If I'm doing something and I need to be called out for it, and you're like, this is wrong, go ahead. Judge what I'm doing. Judge my action. But also come from a place of understanding that we're all shitty. Please know your shittiness before you come to me and tell me of mine, is what I'm saying. So, okay, blah, 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 rabbit trail, right? So, there you go. But, so this has all been coming, this whole idea of who's sitting at your table, I think is really important. And one of the things that I was talking about with somebody today, just a quick message on Facebook, I was corresponding with somebody. And, you know, she had put something on Facebook that I kind of was like, oh, well, maybe there's another side to it, you know, and she Facebooked me. But let me tell you something. Even with me saying maybe there's another side to it, she was completely gracious in saying, huh, I want to learn. Like, what does this mean? Like, what's going on? And so there was some deeper roots to it. You know, we got to talk about that. But you know what I loved and I took away from that? I took away that there are women out there who will admit that they are wrong. Even to somebody, I've not seen this person since high school. And what I loved is her spirit of, you know what? Yeah, that is exactly what I'm dealing with. In such a teachable spirit. It just really took me off guard. Because how many times do you see on Facebook people who are teachable? I don't. I mean, really. It's shocking. And I love that. And I thought to myself, you know, and I told her, I said, you're very teachable. Like, I love that. And it wasn't because I taught her something. It has nothing to do with it. I didn't teach her anything. But her attitude, her overall attitude was just so teachable. And I loved it. And I'm not always that teachable, because there's this stubborn side to me that also wants control. And so I have to really check myself and say, if I really, truly want to be more like Jesus, if I truly want to understand the capacities of Jesus, like, I've got to be teachable. And I love these reminders. I love the reminder. And let me say this. She's not somebody that I talk to all the time. She's not someone at my table. But guess what? Her graciousness taught me something really beautiful. Like, it just reminded me. I wouldn't say taught, but it reminded me of how beautiful being teachable is. So what I'm saying is, have those people who sit on your table, but grab also from people in everyday situations that have this spirit of just being teachable, being loving, and, you know, but choose those people that sit at your table and have those people as a consistent part of your life. Make sure those people are teachable, their motivation for loving you and correcting or just being a part of your life is right. You know, love. Let me talk about that word love, because I've used that a lot, right? That they're loving, that they're loving, that they're loving. And this is what I teach my child, the definition of love. Love is when you care about someone else's well-being more than you care about your own. And I think, you know, with my husband and I freely give to him because he is constantly giving to me. Ladies, when I tell you that when he gets up from his seat, he says, "Can I get you anything, sweetheart?" He is constantly showing me that he loves me, that he wants better for me than he wants for himself. And, you know, the women who sit at my table, when I say they want better for me than they want for themselves, what I'm saying is this. If there's something going on in my life, but I'm not ready to listen to what they have to say, they don't push through, "Well, I need to tell her, I need to tell her, I need to tell her." They wait for the Spirit to guide them. They want better for me, because when the Spirit is ready in my life to receive, then I can receive it. Not when they want to push it on me. They want better for me than they want for themselves. They hold back if they need to until they know it's time. Or if they're ready, if I'm just, in another example, if I'm just talking to them about something that I'm going through, or life, or whatever it is, their words are important. Their listening is important. They want better for me than they want for themselves. They listen to me. They don't always have to comment what they're thinking. You know what I'm saying? And also, for instance, if I'm mad about something, say I'm mad at somebody. This is just a hypothetical. Say I'm mad at somebody. And I'm ranting and I'm ranting and I'm ranting about them, right? Or about the situation. I'm mad, I'm mad. Bringing me the perspective of that other person and how they might be hurt is not what I want to hear. But it's the most loving thing that they can do for me. Right? The most loving thing that they can do for me at some point is say, "Okay, Wendolyn, I've heard you rant about this for several weeks or whatever, and it's time for me to say to you, I want you to think about that other person in this situation. Maybe they're going through something you don't know. Maybe, you know," and I don't want to hear that. I want you to be Team Wendolyn, right? Like, this is just an example. And, but at that point, they're saying, "Now I think it's time, Wendolyn, for you to change your thoughts here. I want you to think about this other person and maybe what they're going through. Maybe something you don't know." That's loving me more than they're loving themselves, because that's not fun to say to somebody. And these are just examples. My table is not full of just people pointing their finger at me saying, "Hey, Wendolyn, this is going on in your life." That table is full of people that I trust with my life, with my everydays, with my ranting about how hot it is in freaking North Carolina and how I just feel like I'm going to explode and how frustrated I get and how I'm homesick. And I can just trust them with that, my rant, and then just let it go, right? They know I'm not just some negative person. They know that I need to get it off my chest and they're safe. So people at your table, having a table doesn't mean that you exclude people from your life. It just means that these people are the ones that are going to help you travel through life and carry burdens with you and guide you in a way that Jesus would have you go. So, yeah, And let me make this clear too, just because someone's at my table doesn't mean I'm at theirs. I can pursue them and want to give them the same things, but sometimes that connection isn't there for them, and that's fine. Like, you know? So I don't know. I just really want to encourage you guys. I really want to encourage you women to really look at your life. And can you look at the women in your life and say, this woman, like, I trust her. Like, I can give her my pearls. I've talked about in the past, some past podcasts where I've said, you know, in scripture says, don't throw your pearls to pigs. They don't know what to do with them. And I'm not calling people pigs. That's what I'm saying. It's an analogy. You don't throw your pearls to pigs because they'll just wallow in the mud with them. They don't know their value. So I tell women, like, be careful who you give your innermost parts to. Make sure that that's treated with what, like, to the capacity that needs to be treated with. Like, be careful who you give your pearls to, you know? So anyway, I'm going to be touching on a lot about this just because I've been thinking about it and I've just been, you know, really looking at who I have in my life and in the future who I'm going to have in my life. And, you know, there are people in my life, let me say this too, there are people in my life, honestly, I can get together with them and I want to be there for them. And every time we get together, I can leave that relationship. I mean, I can leave that outing or when we met up and know they don't know one more thing about me than when I got there. It's been about them. And it's true. I have those people in my life and I ask myself, do I have room for this person? Okay, yes, I do have room for this person in my life. And I can't be offended when I go and be with this person. All they do is talk about themselves and what's going on in their life. And am I willing just to be there for them and sharpen them? And, you know, you really have to, and I don't feel like this person's adding negativity to my life. You know, I have those relationships too, you know, but I have to be at the point where I'm okay with that. That I'm okay with that. That I have enough other relationships that are pouring into me that I can take on a relationship like that. Yeah, like I think in the Christian community, we just want to be like, include everybody. Everybody should be by your side. I'm just not that person. I don't believe that. I think you need to live as a community. But to trust everybody, I think is dangerous. For your soul. For your soul. I truly believe that. So anyway, if you have any thoughts on this, if you have, you know, if you feel like you took something away or have questions or whatever, like feel free to, you know, leave a comment on, I know like on the iTunes app, you can leave like a review and stuff like that. Like feel free to even contact me. I have a page on Facebook that I made recently, which I've been neglecting. Oops, it's Frizzy Mom. oops, I forgot that I had that. It's typical. It's typical me. But anyway, yeah. So feel free to contact me with any kind of questions or anything like that. But I do want to be touching on this because I feel like as women and if there's mothers listening, it can be a lonely journey. A lonely journey. And we need our table. We need our table.